From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young. Developments in both science and politics on climate change. The U.S. and China agreed to cooperate on cleaner and more efficient forms of energy, but world leaders downplayed expectations about next month's climate summit in Copenhagen. So political leaders sent mixed messages, but climate science sent a clear signal. The international scientists of the Global Carbon Project have a warning about the current trajectory of our CO2 emissions. Their new report, called the Global Carbon Budget, says we're on a path towards a catastrophic 11 degrees Fahrenheit rise in the planet's average temperature by the century's end. Woods Hole Research Center Director Richard Houghton helped write the Carbon Budget. He says it compiles the latest data on carbon sources and sinks.
We know we're emitting carbon dioxide through burning fossil fuels and through deforestation, but we don't know as well where the carbon is going. Only about half of what we release stays in the atmosphere, and the other half goes back, goes into the oceans or goes back onto land.
Generally speaking, the sinks, the things that absorb carbon from the atmosphere, they're not keeping pace with the emissions, is what you're finding.
They're not quite keeping up, and that's the worry. I mean, point is that nature has been being good to us, and as these sinks get saturated or start to fill up, they will not take up as large a fraction of what's emitted.
Houghton's report says natural storehouses of carbon have become slightly less efficient over the past 50 years or so. And two other new studies give a deeper insight into one of the most important carbon sinks, the ocean. Oceans have been taking up close to a third of all the CO2 humans generate. But research in the current issue of the journal Nature suggests we've pushed the CO2 storage of the seas to the limit. Columbia University oceanographer Samar Katiwala wrote that paper, and he's with us now. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me on your program.
Well, what did your study find about oceans and their ability to take up our CO2?
So what we've discovered is that starting in about the 1950s or so, there was a really sharp increase in ocean CO2 uptake driven by the very explosive growth in emissions. That uptake is still increasing today, but at a slower pace, so that over time, the oceans are absorbing a much smaller proportion of total human CO2 emissions. In fact, as much as 10% less compared with just 10 years ago.
So just in the past decade, it's 10% less compared to the emissions we're putting out there.
Right. The proportion of emissions that the ocean takes up has gone down by about 10%.
Even though the oceans are still absorbing more CO2 than I guess they ever have, right?
That's correct. That, in absolute terms, the oceans are increasingly absorbing CO2. It's currently about 2.3 billion tons per year.
To 2.3 billion tons, that's how much the ocean is absorbing every year, is that right?
That's correct. It represents about one-fourth of total human CO2 emissions. Or to put it another way, it's about 6 years' worth of U.S. gasoline consumption. So it's a very sizable sink for human CO2 emissions.
So why is the ocean's ability to absorb the CO2 lessening? What's going on there?
The ocean circulation is really very sluggish. So if emissions grow too rapidly, the ocean really can't keep up. The other reason is what we like to call ocean chemistry. Basically, as CO2 dissolves in seawater, the ocean becomes more acidic and its capacity to take up more carbon in the future declines. So it's really a combination of these two factors, ocean circulation and ocean acidification, that's combining to give this reduced uptake, relative uptake of ocean CO2.
So essentially, it's just it can't keep up with the emissions that we're pumping out there.
Exactly. That's right. Almost everything, all the feedbacks between climate and the ocean are such that this problem can only get worse. You know, the ocean is going to get more acidic. There's nothing to prevent that. The ocean might warm up in the future, and that's going to release or make CO2 less soluble in water, for example. So all of these different factors put together suggest that CO2, relative CO2 uptake going into the future is going to decline.
I mean, that doesn't bode well, does it?
Not in the long term. You know, in the short term, it's a small change. But once you start extrapolating into the future, it's clearly going to be an important factor. if you look at the total amount of man-made carbon in the oceans at present, it's about 150 billion tons of carbon, which, if I want to put that into some kind of context, if you took all this carbon and you put it into the atmosphere, then atmospheric CO2 would be about 20% higher, or about 460 parts per million.
Wow.
A lot of scientists think that if you want to avert sort of dangerous climate change, we should be limiting future CO2 to about 450 parts per million.
So that chunk alone would already put us over right there.
Yeah, that would definitely put us over. So the ocean is really doing its part in sort of preventing that from happening. You know, it's giving us 3 or 4 decades of time so we can get our act together and hopefully reduce emissions.
So I guess the takeaway lesson here is nature's kind of been cutting us some slack. We've been pumping a lot of CO2 emissions up there, and the oceans have been sucking a lot of it up, but we're kind of maxing out our account here, aren't we?
That's right. It's if you look at it as a carbon budget, then yeah, we're being subsidized by the ocean and the land.
But the free lunch might be over.
That's correct, yeah.
Professor Samar Kadiwala, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me on your program.